Good morning, saints. God bless you. Praise the Lord. I have one opening scriptures if you can go to. It's Romans 5:5. While I get set up here. I might need some help, brother. I think it has a different kind of connection here. Let's bow our heads as we're getting situated here. If you can help me out, I think it has a different extension this time. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful this morning, Lord, that you've given us such a precious truth, such a precious life, such a precious revelation, such a precious faith in the love of God. That shed abroad our hearts, Lord God. We ask that this morning you would set this time, the time aside, Father, that you would come speak to us, encourage us in your, Father, in your word, encourage us in as we pray for one another, and encourage us, Lord God, as we read these pages of Life Eternal. And I want to ask, Father, for a special song service this morning, for a special continuation, Father, of the meetings that we've been having. And I pray that you will enlighten us eternally with your word, as we turn these precious words of life in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. So in Romans 5:5, we have...
Yeah, use this one.
Can I use that one? Oh, it was just unhooked now. There you go. Thank you, brother. We'll get to... Appreciate it. Got number two there. And then... I'm at number two now, so we should be going on. Okay, very good. I think it's because
your display settings. Just keep going.
Yeah. Well, just hang tight so we can go over the notes better. Thank you, brother. I know what went on. So in Romans 5:5, it says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." And the title of this Sunday school lesson was going to be the love of God. Amen. And particularly looking at, in here it says that it was the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts, but it is something that's given to us, right? And it is by the Holy Ghost. And that's what gives us that hope that maketh not ashamed. Amen. And when we look at topics such as the love of God towards us, and then we'll look at topics such as how we're commanded to love one another. And then we'll look also at the wrong kind of love or erroneous love. A warning, actually, against the warning of the erroneous love. And then a special subtopic about how faith that worketh by love.
This one?
It's this one, sir. Yeah. Got me set up?
Yep.
All right. Thank you very much. Alrighty, thank you very much. So we read that scripture, and here's what I said we were going to talk about is God loves towards us. God loves us. We love God. A warning against erroneous love, and how we are commanded to love one another, and then how faith that worketh by love. So that's what we'll be talking about. When it comes to God's love towards us, I have a question. There's a question here. Behold, what manner of love? You know, just think about it. God is God, right? Like, if you're an owner or something, if you're an owner of a store or a landlord, you can be the owner of something, but it doesn't mean you have to love, right? You could be the owner of something. So he could have been the owner of this universe, a creator, right? In theory, but let's say that he didn't have love. So just think about it that way, right? Just think about, you know, how deep love goes and how foundational it is that it starts with him and then he's giving it to us first before he commands it, right? So think about that question. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us? It says here that we should be called the sons of God. So don't take it for granted that you're called the son of God. Because this is actually asking it in a connotation of, do you know how much love you are when you are taken in as a son? When you're taken in as a daughter? It's typifying there something. Therefore the world knoweth us not, the believer, because it knew him not. You see, it takes it back to the first time the word love was mentioned in the Bible, and that is in Genesis 22, verse 2. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. The first time the word love was mentioned. But you know what that's typifying, right? And get thee into the land of Moriah, the mountain, remember? And offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. A very selected mountain, right? But look here, right? For God so loved. Right, so he's the one we know that we took. So that was a type, right? So Abraham loved Isaac, right? And that was a type. But we said about what manner of love is this? Well, that's the manner of love it was. For God so, he loved it so much is what that means. That if he would have done an act of love that would have been more worthy of saying, I love you, he would have done it. So think about how much love that is. You know, be called son. But another thing is to give your only begotten son. And I'll summarize some of the scriptures because I got plenty of them. In 1 John 3:16, it's pretty much a parallel there. See John 3:16, but here's 1 John 3:16 as well. It says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Same thing. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So it's going to get deep here shortly. So buckle your seatbelt on that. See, 1 John 4:9, it says, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. Again, so just manifestation of that love. Brother Branham preached a few messages on love. I think it was upward of 9, if you search the word love, and message titles. And one of them was literally called love. Another one was called the projection of love. And another one, when divine love is projected, right? And we'll see them here in a little bit. And there's another portion of that title. But you see, that is how God showed us that he loved us, right? And it's through the Bible. And Proverbs 3:12 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son. Do you see the type here? Father, son, Abraham loved Isaac, in whom he delighteth. Again, as the Father hath loved me, so I love you. Continue ye in my love. That's 1 John 15, Jesus speaking. Now, speaking a little bit about wisdom in Proverbs, particularly in we'll see later in Proverbs 8, that chapter is full of, I call it the chapter of wisdom, where wisdom itself is speaking like in the I, in the first person. And here's what it says, get wisdom in chapter 4 of Proverbs. Get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, wisdom, and she shall keep thee. And here it says, now, wisdom is speaking. By me, princes rule and nobles, even all judges of the earth. I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me. Yeah, durable riches and righteousness. And then on this one, John 14, Jesus spoke it. It just reminds me so much. My wife would tell his brother, do you love me, brother? And he says, yeah. And he was like, keep my commandments. Kind of stuck to me, but, you know, it makes you think, you know, it's a very strange thing. You know, you love me? Okay, well, keep my commandments, right? But then think about it, though. He commanded his love towards us. And think about it. He commanded us to love, but he loved us first. So he's being fair, right? He's not saying, I'm going to challenge you to do something that you cannot do. Truly, we cannot do it without him, right? But, of course, it is the love of God, right? That's the title of the message. In Proverbs 19, it says, he that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. And we have here, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? It's a portion of the whole paragraph, right? It's 21 verse. Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, it goes on to say life, death, angels, things to be and things that were, right? So it's a pretty destined love. It's a pretty elected love. It's a love that, you know, has a purpose behind it. It accomplishes much, as we'll see here through the scriptures here. And it is a fruit of the Spirit, by the way. And you know what something about it? You cannot put love in jail. Actually, it says here, against these fruits, there's no law. So it's not illegal to have joy, to have peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, in faith. We'll see how faith and love work together here. Meekness, temperance, the fruits of the Spirit. Against such, there's no law. And that's a sermon in of itself there. It's just, you can't come against it. You may want to, but it's not gonna you know, win in a court of law, right? Ephesians 1:4. According as he hath chosen us. So see, love does this too. In him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He chose us in love before the foundation of the world. In other words, in 2 Timothy we have, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. And we'll see right now a little bit about love and faith working and how, you know, fear has no space. But of power and of love. So think about it. It's actually a spirit, right? You know, God is love. We know God's a spirit. So, you know, it's the fruit of the spirit. So it's the spirit of love. It's God's spirit of love in you. And of a sound mind. Don't take that for granted this day and age, right? I mean, in your human life, you may have things going many directions, like that depiction that Brother Luis showed, right, with the straight line, how people perceive their year is going to go and what the reality is, and then how most people perceive what it is and then what it really is. One thing I like about this little diagram is that he had all kinds of arrows going every which way, but towards the end, he did have one over in the middle that did sneak out at the end. So, and they called it success, and that's reality. So, you know, with God's help, right, but having a sound mind, having a, you know, a mind that can be settled on the things of God, right? And in Hebrews 12:6, it says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth, right? You know, I heard it said many times, you know, when people say, oh, you know, God doesn't correct, you know, bride or whatever, you know, but you're still a son of God, but we're a portion collectively of the bride of God. So let's not use that as an excuse, right? I mean, we get corrected, right? And it's out of love, and you know it, right? And you know, and we all know the statement, love is corrective, right? But I think sometimes it can get overused with the hatred way, right? But of course it's corrective, right? I mean, we correct our children, we correct each other's, you know, as brothers, humans, and husbands, wives. But the idea here is that it has the right motive, especially when it's founded on the Word of God. In Romans 5:6, I found these two verses are in parallel. And typically the one, Romans 5:8 is very well known, but I hadn't seen the parallel with two verses before that, where it says, I'll read the 5:8 first. But God commanded his love, remember? He commanded it towards us. So it's a commandment that he loves us too, not just you love too. I love you. He made his own commandment that he loves us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, right? Very familiar scripture. But look at the one above, verse 6, same chapter. For when we were yet without strength. See how it correlates that being a sinner is you have no strength to live this walk, right? In due time, Christ died for the ungodly, right? So see, it's a very parallel scripture there. And I just thought it was very interesting how, in other words, he's shown us his love even when we had no strength, even when we were sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for the sinner, right? Predestined to, before the foundation of the world. In Ephesians 2:4-5, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, and by the way, the word mercy, loving kindness, you know, we know there's in charity, that's parallel to love in many cases. And you know, there's deeper words of agape love. We'll go here in a little bit. But for his great love wherewith he loved. So that love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, again, another parallel scriptures, in sins hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you are saved. So three parallel scriptures, right? But all related to love, as you see there in the word, speaking on the love of God, brother. It says Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. But you see the purpose here? It's not just meaningless correction or it's not meaningless rebuke. You know, if it's like the difference between a butcher, right? And the difference between a surgeon, you know, they both cut flesh. You know, but one cuts it just to cut and kill, but one cuts it to remove something that's hindering and to heal, right? To allow God's healing process. And as we know in one place, it says that it's a good thing to, a righteous man will receive a rebuke. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Two things, be zealous therefore and repent. That's the purpose, is get right. 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed. So that's the word. The word believe, that's faith, right? The love of God that God hath to us. So we believe that God that loved us, he loved us with. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Amen. So now let's talk about us loving God. Scriptures that talk about us loving God. In Deuteronomy 6:5 is where the commandment starts, right? Where it says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might, right? So it's a commandment that he gave us, remember? But he showed his love towards us first. And in here, I'll skip a few scriptures here. It says that because Psalm, he hath set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Another place it says, to those that love my name. You know, God loves a lot of things. He says, I love a cheerful giver. He says, Esau hated, but Jacob I loved. Amen? So there's a lot of things that we can see. He loves righteousness. He loves justice. I was reading scriptures as such. And God loves, he loves those that love him. He loves a believer. You know, in some places he said he loved the world, right? And in some places he says he loved us and Christ died for us even while we were sinners. Of course, because he knew what was going to come out of it, right? Before the foundation of the world. And it says, Psalm 119, there's actually a lot of parallels here in the word love. There's a lot of places, of course, in the Song of Songs. There's like love being mentioned 30 times there, of course. The top of love between the groom and the bride there. It says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That's a good test right there, right? I mean, there's a lot of things that could offend sometimes, right? So, but that says that love thy law, you know. May the Lord help us. In Psalm 119, it talks a lot about thy precepts, thy testimony, thy word, a standard, you know, all referring to God's word. So, love and one another, right? Let love be without dissimulation. Think about that. Don't love in secret, in other words, your brothers. It says here, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. So don't love one another, right, with dissimulation, right? In other words, love freely. Because as we'll see right now, there's a proverb that kind of hits it on the nail. Proverbs say a lot with just saying very little. And it talks about that better is something else than love in secret. So it's like, really? I mean, love is good, right? But it's like, there's something to that. It says here, love in Romans worketh no ill. Help us, Lord, right? To his neighbor. I think we all need help here. It says, therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. This is a high standard. Very high standard here. And it says in 2 Timothy 4:8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me, and at the day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. Think about love his appearing. We have a message, brothers, about his appearing. I think and God has given us the faith and the love, right? We love his appearing. We love what he's doing in this last age. We love what he's doing through all ages, but here we are now. And we love him because he first loved us. You know, when I first read this scripture, you know, fresh, cold turkey coming out of living 20-something years without, you know, reading scriptures. It's one of those where like your flesh takes a little offense of that, right? Sometimes you want to be like, no, I'm the one that see God. No, I'm the one that love God first, you know? It's like, I'm the center of the universe, you know? Things revolve around me. But that's how it is. It says we love him because he first loved us. But that says a lot right there, right? In other words, we're not even capable of loving him the way he loved us, because it's a different kind of love, as we know. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God. Pretty descriptive, right? Pretty definitive. That we keep his commandments. And you know what? After all, his commandments, they're not grievous. When you receive this Holy Spirit. Remember where it says, the love of God that's shed abroad our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Yeah, so otherwise you don't get that love. And they're not grievous then, the commandments. Right? I mean, if anything, it's healing for you to surrender and to know that something wasn't right and the word, you know, the commandment of God brought you to repentance. You know, there's a scripture that says that the love of God leads you to repentance. In the King James, it uses another word for the word love there, but many other translations, it says the love of God that leads us to repentance, right? And it says, Jude 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy and for the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So keep yourselves in the love of God. And you think about it, it's you got to remember, too, there's growth in the love of God. There's keep yourself. And there's some of the scriptures that you feel like, oh, does that mean I don't love God? Well, I mean, it does say, you know, that it does say certain things about, you have to see what it's saying, right? It's not saying you're going to hell, right? It's just saying that if you're not abiding, for example, right, in his love, then you may not get this. I don't mean you never love God or God never loved you and gave you, you know, the Holy Spirit. But it's remember those that I chasten and rebuke, you know? You know, I correct. Those are the Son of God. Those that I love. Amen? So warnings about erroneous love. Just take a little quick detour here about the erroneous love, and then we'll start wrapping it up. So Psalm 4:2. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity? So it's obviously not the love of God, right? Amen. And seek after leasing, deceitful falsehood. Selah. 1 Timothy says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. And, you know, one time a preacher stopped me because he says, you know, money is not the root of all evil. And I'm like, let me point you to the scripture, brother. You know, as we know, it says the love of money, right? And it's the love that's supposed to take God's place, right? As we'll see in another scripture, which you can't serve two masters, and it compares God and mammon. So which, while some coveted after, see, it was not the right kind of love. I think it got exposed there. It's covet. They have erred from the faith. So see, it's erroneous love. And pierced themselves with many sorrows. Yeah. And helpless. You know, there's things that happen to us in life, but there's things that we inflict upon ourselves. Amen. Right? And again, that's not saying you can't have, you know, we all need to have our means. But what that means is just don't love them above God, right? Amen. And it says in Ecclesiastes. See, there's three scriptures I'll bring about that little subtopic here. 5:10. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. See, because silver cannot satisfy what God's supposed to satisfy. Nor he that loveth abundance with increase. So that's one big term there. This is also vanity. So that's where he says that no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other. Or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. See what happens? Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And the flesh does not like that. I mean, every time I read that scripture, I just feel like, ugh. Right? Because I think, you know, it cuts. So it's the word of God is still true. It's Psalm 52, 3-4. Thou lovest evil. So the wrong kind of love we're talking about. More than good. So, you know, it says more than good. So there's a little bit of phileo, or whatever you want to call it. Love, right? Of good. And lying rather than speak. Righteousness, Selah. Thou lovest all devouring words, and thou deceitful tongue. It's talking about the tongue, the evil tongue on this one. And concerning the wicked man, it says, as he loved cursing, pretty strong words, so let it come unto him. So he delighted not on blessing. So let it be far from him, the blessing. See? Now, of course, that word love, you know, cursing, that's not agapo love, right? You don't know agapo love cursing, right? It's a hev. And there's many other words that are used for the word love. So in Proverbs 1, it says, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? And wisdom here, talking about wisdom, but he that sinneth against me, wisdom speaking in the first person, wrongeth his own soul. Remember, it says, he that loveth me loveth his own soul. But here's the opposite. All they that hate me love death. This can't serve two masters. And here it's talking about that it's better to have a dinner with herbs. He imagines like, hey, I trade you a little bit of my spearmint. Can I get some Romero here? Yeah. Have a dinner like that where love is, then a stalled ox where hatred is therewith. Right? And we all know that. I think we experienced that. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more again than lovers of God. So this is the proverb I was talking about. Sometimes it just like a little hits it on the nail. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Can you imagine that? It's better to get rebuked openly than to be loved in secret. Meditate on that. Think about it. I have not wrapped my mind around that one. My goodness, I just read it like cold turkey. Like, you know, they stand for themselves, some of these proverb verses. a little bit, some of them have a little bit of content, like what it was talking about, but some of them are just by themselves. Because it's just saying this and that. It's giving you a contrast. So can you imagine, it's like love. We're talking about love. So I'm just saying, you know, there's some warnings about certain loves. You love in secret. Why? Why in secret? Maybe it's exposing something there. Right? And it's saying that it's actually, just put that aside, it's actually better for you to rebuke openly. That's something, brothers. All right, Jeremiah, we'll put it up here. The Lord hated the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yep, I love thee with an everlasting love. Pretty sure. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Love not the world, neither the things that... So that scripture there was just giving you a contrast of, you know, there's a wrong kind of love, and then there's the elective love. But love not the world, so, you know, of course, not the right world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Another cutter here, right? And this is the condemnation, right? The man loved the darkness more than the light because they didn't want their works to be exposed, the evil works. And here it says, for all that is in the world, right, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, it's not of the Father. It's of the world and passes away, the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. Amen. So just love one another. Here it says, a new commandment, love one another. Love one another, of course, is all throughout the scripture. Let brotherly love continue, right? Amen. We have that here. And it says, love one another because love is of God. Loveth. And he that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Right? He's the source of it. I mean, God himself is love. For this is the message that we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, right? So it's clear. But look at this. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue. I need help from evil in his lips, that they speak no guile. I mean, I love life. I want to see good days. So let's take the recipe there. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Amen. He that loveth not his brethren abideth in death. Here, just wrapping up here. Husbands, love your wives. Very familiar scripture. But look at this. And be not bitter against them. I think we need help with this, brothers. Now, it also says, you know, love one another as Christ loved the church in another place, as Christ loved us in another place too. I'm going to read this one quote. The children of Israel, Brother Branham speaking, he says in 47, very early on, friends, when you miss the love of God in your heart, you miss everything. No matter what you've done, where there's tongues, they shall cease. Where there's prophecies, it shall vanish. But where there is charity, love, it lasts forever. I'd rather my wife would love me than be afraid of me. Wouldn't you? Sure. You love God, the love of God in your heart. You know what, brothers? It takes more to lead life a family by love than to lead them by fear. It's the default thing of the flesh, right? But I'm saying it takes more. I know sometimes we default to, like, you know, because I said so on everything, but it really takes more. Great love hath no man. So there's no greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So this is my commandment, that you love one another as I love you. See, does it, husband and wives also commanding the husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church, and he gave himself for it. So it's sacrificial love. Agape love, right? No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. So there's growth, maturity. And the last scriptures here, faith that worketh with love. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor in circumcision, but this scripture is tremendous, foundational, but faith which worketh by love, that's what availeth. So can you imagine? So faith is accompanied with love, because everything we've been talking about, it has that purpose. It has that elective love. It has that well intention behind it. So faith comes out of that. Faith motivates. I mean, love motivates faith. It helps operate that faith because there's love. I mean, love be in this building here as we get ministered on later on here. And wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, I love and the love unto all the saints. So there's four salutations where it says faith and love. What I heard up there, faith and love. Here in Colossians, Paul, faith and love. Faith and love. See, love and faith. See, look at this. Faith and charity. Paul speaking to them. After I heard about this, so just that's how love and faith work together. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love. You see? So now the end of the commandment is charity. Out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and faith unfeigned. See? Love, faith. Love, faith. And the question is, does love cast out fear? Nope. But close. Perfect love cast out all fear. Amen. Right? And here we have, there's no fear in love. Perfect love cast out all fear. Fear has torment, and fear is not, he that fear is not made perfected. And last, I'll leave you with this. I was hearing Brother Tim Pruitt preach, and as I was studying about a month ago, and then he just said this statement. It just is one of those that wake you up, and it says, fear is faith turned inside out. It's the opposite of faith. It believes more in Satan's power to harm than God's power to deliver. So let your faith triumph over your fear. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, brothers. We had all the scriptures here that says, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection, and let all your things be done in charity. Amen. God bless you, brothers. Have a wonderful service. Praise the Lord.